Matthew chapter 12. So, since it's our last Wednesday, I want to give us some extra time in small groups so you guys can catch up and really, really talk, really get real with one another, be transparent and honest and open. So, we're just going to cover one essential tonight, one quick essential. It should be quick. Hopefully, it's an important one, but we should be able to get through it pretty quick. So if you got it, Matthew 12, we're going to start in verse 22. Let's stand on our feet. First book of the New Testament. Matthew 12:22. I'm feeling she's yelling.
Yeah,
I'm
gonna be yodeler now.
That's cool. Okay. Matthew 22, or no, sorry, Matthew 12, verse 22. Let's read it together. Then one was brought to him who was demon-possessed, blind and mute. And he healed him so that the blind and mute man both spoke and saw. And all the multitudes were amazed and said, "Could this be the son of David?" Now when the Pharisees heard it, they said, "This fellow does not cast out demons except by Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons." But Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself will not stand. If Satan casts out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then will his kingdom stand? And if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore, they shall be your judges." Verse 28, "But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. Or how can one enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man, and then he will plunder his goods? He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters abroad." Verse 31, "Therefore I say to you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven men, but the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven men. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man," that's Jesus, "it will be forgiven him, but whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven him, either in this age or in the age to come." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful to be hanging out together tonight, that it's our commonality in you that truly brings us together to this place. And we are so thankful for you, Lord. So thankful for the unity that we have in here. All of us coming from a totally different day, some of us a totally different walk of life. But when we come together in you, we are united. We are one, and you speak to us individually just as you know we need it, but you also speak to us as a group. So we ask that you would do that tonight. Fill us all with your Spirit to receive what you have for us, and I pray that your Holy Spirit would be speaking through me every step of this teaching. And we give it all to you and ask that you would have your way. And we pray all this in the name of Jesus. And all of God's people said, amen. So in Christianity, we have this idea that there is no sin too great for Jesus to forgive, or there's no action too evil for God to forgive. And we get this idea from 1 John 1:9, other verses like this as well. "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." And this view that's common in Christianity, it's correct. When a person seeks God's forgiveness, there's nothing that they won't be forgiven of. Does that make sense? There's nothing that God will not forgive them of when they seek God's forgiveness. But that being said, there is one sin that is often called the unpardonable sin or the unforgivable sin. And so tonight, we're going to look at what exactly that sin is and how we can avoid it. So the title of this teaching is Unforgivable in Every Way. Matt King Cole, get it? It's unforgettable. But unforgivable. I almost like took the first line of the song, unforgivable, that's what you are, but I thought that would convey the wrong message. So let's start. What I want to do, can you guys stop throwing the ball? Is that cool? Oh, throw it away. Oh, that's cool too. Okay, thanks. Yeah, don't throw it toward the trash. But what I want to do is start by showing you guys what's going on in the passage that we opened up with. This occurs multiple times, or not multiple times, it occurs at different parts in the Gospels. This isn't the only Gospel that talks about it. But I think this one is clear, it's quite clear compared to all the other ones, and so it gives us a lot of info. So we're going to focus on this one. So here's what happens. This blind and mute guy, he can't speak and he can't see, he's brought before Jesus. And it turns out that he's possessed by a demon. Now, this is very interesting to see demonic possession displayed in this way. You know, a lot of times, because of media, we think of, like, heads spinning on people, and we think of someone with a creepy voice. That's also seen in the Gospels. We think of someone with unnatural abilities. We see that as well in the Gospels. But we also see something that's very natural, it seems. It's someone who's blind and someone who's mute. We also see... in another part of the Gospels, we see someone who seems to almost be having seizures, like almost like they're epileptic, but it's from demonic possession. But Jesus, he casts out the demon, and the guy's vision is restored, and he's able to speak. And the crowd, they have two main reactions. Most of the people go, "Whoa, is this the son of David?" Which is basically, they're asking, is this the Messiah that we have read about in prophecies from the lineage of David? Is this the one that we have read about? The Son of God, fully God. But the Pharisees, they react in a totally different way. And this is what we need to focus on. In verse 24, if you have your Bibles open, look at it. It says, this fellow. Now, whenever a group of people start out a conversation with this fellow, you know it's going bad direction. But they say, this fellow does not cast out demons except by Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons. Beelzebub is another name for Satan. Satan is real. He's not a dude with a pitchfork and red hair or head. I don't know. What's the red... tail. He's not like half lizard, half like horned creature. No. Satan is real. He's able to roam the earth. We're told that he does that regularly. He also has access to the heavenly realm as well currently. And the Pharisees are saying that Jesus is not working under the power of the Holy Spirit, but he is working under the power of Satan.
Oops.
My bad. Well. Spoiler alert. And Jesus explains the weight of what they are doing in verses 31 through 32. If you have your Bible open, look at it with me. It's really important to see. He says, "So I tell you, every sin and blasphemy can be forgiven except blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, which will never be forgiven. Anyone who speaks against the Son of Man can be forgiven. But anyone who speaks against the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven, either in this world or in the world to come." The unforgivable sin, as Jesus puts it, is blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. Okay, that answers our question. Let's close in prayer. I'm just kidding. No, totally kidding. Because it's so vague. And if, like, anybody knows anything about me, vagueness gets me. That's my biggest pet peeve. If you ever want to get on my nerves, say a sentence like, "Take your socks off your feet and wash them." What do you mean? Wash what? Right? Like, because wash my feet or wash my socks? Vagueness, really. Like, I know, like, a lot of people don't notice that stuff. Like, in texting, too. Oh, people are so vague over text. Ooh, God. It's really dangerous. Vagueness is dangerous. I want to put that on a logo somewhere so that people realize there's danger in vagueness. But let's break it down. It's sort of vague. It's when you break it down, it's very clear to understand. But the phrase itself, especially translated into English, it's kind of vague. So blasphemy. The definition of blasphemy, and hear how it's being used, is best put as to speak out against something, especially something sacred. So, to speak out against something, you're directly defying it with your word. It can be evil speaking is another definition of it as well. It's very offensive, injurious, like a language that can injure whatever you're speaking of, toward typically something sacred. And in this case, it is something sacred. And then blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. So we need to know what the Holy Spirit is. And Jesus describes the Holy Spirit in John 15, verse 26, as the advocate, the Spirit of truth. He will come to you from the Father and will testify all about me, all about Jesus, not me, all about Jesus. So the Pharisees blasphemed the Holy Spirit by attributing that miracle that Jesus had worked through the power of the Holy Spirit, by attributing that power to Satan. So this is heavy stuff. This is a big deal. But notice, Jesus does not directly accuse the Pharisees of the unforgivable sin. Rather, when we read this passage, it's more of like a warning. It's like he's warning them. If they had already committed and destined themselves to unforgiveness, then why would he even say it in the first place? It's really read like a warning. So why would that be? Why would he be warning them of this? And it's widely agreed by theologians, by Bible teachers, by a lot of people that have studied this, a lot of people that teach the Bible as well. It's widely agreed that the unpardonable sin, the unforgivable sin, is not an instance of foolishly speaking against the Holy Spirit, you know, slipping up or being ignorant in your youth and saying something kind of ridiculous about the Holy Spirit, or just ignorant in a moment of time and you kind of slip up, or just living a season of foolishness and getting in the habit of speaking in that way. But rather, it's a continued settled rejection of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. That is what we should understand as this unforgivable sin, a continued settled rejection of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And remember that the Holy Spirit testifies of Christ. So we're rejecting the testament, someone who is testifying, God the Spirit testifying of Jesus in our lives. We're rejecting that. So it's a life of consistently denying, rejecting, and avoiding the work of the Holy Spirit in someone's life. Now, you might have the same question that I would ask. What if someone blasphemes the Holy Spirit for most of their life, and then at the end of their life, genuinely repents of it, cries out to the Lord, and seeks forgiveness? Since they, from our understanding, have engaged in the unforgivable sin, is there forgiveness for them? So the answer to that question would be that that person was never truly in the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. And David Guzik explains this so well, so I'm going to read you guys a quote from him. I don't quote people often, so this is gold. It's really good. It's so good. But the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit... The blasphemy of the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven. Not because it is a sin too big for God to forgive, but because it is an attitude of heart that cares nothing for God's forgiveness. It never has forgiveness because it never wants forgiveness God's way. It may want forgiveness on its own terms, but never God's way. And that is a perfect explanation of what the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit or against the Holy Spirit is. And so the question that we have to ask is, how do we avoid this unforgivable sin as Christians? Well, the first thing, the reality is that a Christian simply cannot commit this sin. They cannot commit this unforgivable sin, because to commit this sin is to not be Christian, because you're denying, you're actively denying, avoiding, rejecting the message of the Holy Spirit. And it's not uncommon for Christians to fear the possibility of actually being in blasphemy of the Holy Spirit but not aware of it. This is a common fear that Christians can develop. How do I know if I'm not deep down inside, even though I want to live this way, that I'm not actually authentically, genuinely, deep down in my heart, blaspheming the Holy Spirit and like actively rejecting him, even though I have that desire? And so the answer to that, and what we need to understand, is the presence of that fear is proof that you could not possibly be living in blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. The fact that a person even has the concern, what if I could be denying Jesus and I don't know deep down inside what my heart is because it's deceitfully wicked and it's deceiving me. The fact that that fear is present in someone's life is proof that they could not possibly be living in the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. And so what do we take away from this? Well, the big thing to take away is that there is forgiveness for everything. Like that first point that I opened up with, that in Christianity we commonly teach that there is no sin too great, no action too evil for God to forgive when your heart genuinely cries out to the Lord. And that is so true. There is one sin, one lifetime of rejection to the Holy Spirit that will not be forgiven. And that is it. And so we need to be like in awe of the grace of God, that he forgives so much that when we cry out to him, whether it's the murderer, the thief, the lustful person, the prideful person, the immodest person, the tempted in whatever else they may be tempted in and struggling and sometimes living in sin as well, but fighting against that, God forgives. God forgives all of that. But a person who has rejected the Holy Spirit for their whole entire life, this isn't the person who is ignorant. It's not the person who didn't have an opportunity to hear. God's grace is there for those people who have not had an opportunity to hear the true gospel. But for someone who has heard the gospel and has understood the gospel and has actively rejected it and actively avoided it, not just for a season, not just for an instance, but for their whole entire life, there is no forgiveness for that. And that's heavy. And that's huge. But we need to remember that no person living, no person walking on earth currently, breathing, has like, did you guys hear that ring? Holy Ghost! Just kidding. Oh my goodness. Blasphemy! No. Okay, well, let's pray. No, I actually want to finish that point real quick. No person living on earth currently has fully executed the sin of blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. They have maybe done it for a season. They have maybe spoken out against God and against the power of God and against the gospel for a large amount of their lives, but no person breathing has reached a state of unforgivable. And that needs to encourage us to get out, to talk to our friends and family. We're going into the Christmas season. Bring the gospel to the Christmas table. It should be there because it's for Jesus, but bring it there. Talk to your family, talk to your friends, even the ones who you say they've rejected it and there's no chance. There is a chance because they are still alive. They are still breathing. There is a chance for God's grace to penetrate even what seems to us to be the hardest heart. The sin is not a hard heart. It is a lifetime of rejection. Let's pray, and then we'll break up into small groups. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for your grace that we have this promise that when we confess our sins to you, that you are faithful and you are just to cleanse us, to forgive us, to justify us from every wicked deed we have done and every way that we have fallen short of your perfect, holy standard. We are so thankful for that, Lord, and we are thankful that your forgiveness extends even to the hardest of hearts. When they cry out to you, you forgive them, as long as it is while they still have their human bodily breath. So we pray, Lord, that this would encourage us to be actively bearing the gospel in everywhere we go, everything we say, and everything we do, But we pray that we would also be at peace, Lord, knowing that as Christians who have chosen you and who have a desire to please you, that there is no chance that we have committed this unforgivable sin. We can rest in that, knowing that even the slightest fear that we have is proof to us of your grace, that we have not committed that sin and that we are forgiven and cleansed from all of our unrighteousness. We love you so much, Lord, and we pray this in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Don't leave yet. I want to just go.